Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilvor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilvor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and we are back again to just entertain you because that's what we do.
And ourselves.
And ourselves.
Yeah, it is entertaining, right? Because we really never know what's going to come next because we don't plan nothing.
No, our plan is to plan nothing. That is our plan.
That's right.
Other than the guest. We know who the guest is going to be. What comes out of our pie holes, we don't.
Right. Exactly. No. Yeah. Our plan is basically called pockets, which means seat of our pants.
But, you know, it tends to work because I don't know about you guys, but the way I live my life and have been living it for the last 10 years with you guys, for the most part, is when things happen and they almost invariably do, I like make a note like, oh my God, this giant brick just fell on my head. Hold on. I got to remember to talk about that in a week.
Or my bra unhooked itself at the manicure shop.
That's right.
If I could write right now and reach around and rehook my bra with wet nails and write a note, I would say note to self.
There you
talk
go.
Talk about on Happy Hour.
Once I recover from this concussion, I'm talking about this.
Exactly. And true to form, something happened since when last we met last week. And I really, this is something that, you know, I certainly like to complain a lot about things, but this one I really want your opinion on because it was just a little bizarre, and I let it be bizarre. So I want to talk to you about that.
Okay.
So, all right. So I'll tell you what happened, and I'll try to. It's not like I'm not trying to cause a fight or anything. So I'm gonna be a little bit reserved. Okay. So here's the deal. I have a new neighbor. Directly next door to me. And I've not really met, you know, I've said hello. We've had a couple of brief conversations with the neighbor. The neighbor is not there full time. They travel up here from the city and, you know, they're getting settled in and they've been, I guess they kind of moved in over the summer, maybe June, July. No big deal. Not a big deal. So what happened recently and in my house is because, you know, because of this recent renovation, there have been a couple of little snafus that needed fixing that I couldn't anticipate coming up. And one of them happened to be in my driveway, where part of the driveway, my driveway kind of, I don't know, had a little bit of runoff from some rain. And the runoff kind of went down into and touched the neighbor's yard. Now, not a piece of his yard where they utilize. It's just the yard that runs along my yard. Our yards touch. So I had my landscaper come in and fix that. And the neighbor came over and said, oh, what a beautiful job that he did. And of course, my landscaper is not free. So there's that. Anywho, fast forward. And that same sort of issue, that runoff issue happened again a few weeks ago when we had that really, really torrential rain. Only this one was in a different spot. And it was bigger. Now, mind you, it was bigger on my property. Like my property is the property that's feeling most of the pain of this. And the pain that my neighbor's feeling is because my dirt now touches his dirt because it has run off onto his yard. Now, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that is the extent of the problem. It's not like it's causing any damage to his structure. It's not like it's preventing them from enjoying their yard. It's just, that's what it is. So over the weekend, I was in my boudoir, that's French for bedroom, in case you guys don't know. French.
thank God you're here for the explanation.
Oui, oui.
And I had my windows open, and it just so happened, it was one of those some Saturdays I have to hunker down and do like a full day of sort of book work for my office. And it was one of those days. So I'm in my boudoir, the windows are open. I'm hunkered down with my computer. I'm focused on my work. And all of a sudden I hear like a little bit of a ruckus outside. And so my ears perk up, but I don't do anything about it. And a couple minutes later, the ruckus is louder. And it turns out that it was my neighbor had, I don't know, brought in a friend, and they were standing near this crevice on my driveway, remarking about it very loudly. And might I add, not kindly. And they just started ranting and raving about this crevice coming off my driveway. And I could hear every single word they said. Now, it would have been bad enough if it was just that one time. But I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this complaining happened at various points in the day, all darn day, from 9 a.m. in the morning to about 5 p.m. in the evening from the Department of Redundancy Department. And he just kept parading different people around to marvel at this crater in my driveway and complain about it to his friends, who were, of course, on his side. And at one point in this, in these multiple conversations, what he said was, I've only been here 3 months and already I have a neighbor that I hate. Now, the old Jana would have thrown something fairly large out of my window and yelled at them to get the hell off my driveway. If you're going to complain about my property, don't be standing on it when you do that, which they were. But the new Jana was like, I want to hear what this guy has to say. I want to know what he's about. So I kept quiet and just was a fly on my own wall. I was a fly on my own wall. I'm in my house, minding my own business, listening to these people who I don't know talk smack about a situation that is not a huge deal, and bringing all his friends over, like I said, to marvel over it. Now, I ask you, and I continued to keep quiet about it, and I was waiting for them. Somebody's going to knock on my door. Someone's going to raise it. Someone's going to ask me a question. Nobody did anything like that. They just complained all day and then, you know, wound up with, I have a neighbor that I hate and I've only been here 3 months. My question to you guys is, would you let that go, or would you say something the next time you saw him? I don't care who goes first.
Me personally?
Yeah.
I would hold that in my pocket and see what he does first. Because if he's going to be such, you know, if he's going to have such an issue with it to the point where he's got to, you know, parade it in front of friends, because apparently he's a guy that needs to be, you know, he needs confirmation from more than one person.
And confrontation. He's looking for something to complain about.
Right. So if that's going to be the case, you just whistle away in your own, minding your own business kind of way and wait for him and hold this in your pocket. Because he doesn't necessarily know that you heard him say that he hates you.
Well, and that's another interesting point, because I said to myself, like when I was being quiet as a mouse and just being a fly on my own wall, I wanted to hear what he was going to say. And then I said to myself, wait a minute, these people are on my driveway. They crossed over our property touch. They stepped onto my side of the driveway. Their feet from my structure. They could probably see that my windows are open. Now, they don't know necessarily that I'm in my bedroom working on that Saturday. But I said to myself, he wants me to hear this. Like, he wants me to know that this conversation's going on. Otherwise, you would be a little bit more discreet about it, no?
I was thinking there was an intention there earlier. Yeah, possibly.
Is there anything else? So you're not, because this is... Carol, you had runoff from the driveway that created extra dirt on their property. Is that what happened?
And both times. I am not. Listen, you think I'm sugarcoating this to make myself smell like rose?
No,
now, I don't know where you would get that idea from, Carol.
No, I'm baffled. I'm literally baffled by this. So it happened once. You had some. The rain's heavy because of Mother Nature and how it channels down your driveway. It pushed some extra dirt on their wooded. It's wooded, right?
It's like, it's sort of wooded because on our property line is a row of trees. Mm-hmm. So the dirt that ran off my driveway kind of like rolled down and was touching one of the tree trunks. And when I say dirt, I'm not talking about a mound. I'm not talking about an appreciable amount of dirt. I'm just talking about, you can see that my driveway sort of gave way and that, you know, a river ran through it and like water went down onto his property and ended at the tree, which is on our property line.
Okay. And so you addressed that, you hired a landscaper to correct that.
And paid money to correct it. Yes, I did.
And then it happened again. And they never asked you to do that. You just did it.
I just did it.
And no interaction with them.
No.
About it.
No.
Okay. And then so you have runoff a second time.
Right.
And without even, you know, talking to you to say, hey, if you noticed again, or maybe we can, he hates you for that.
Yes. Now, granted, I mean, when they bought their house, so, you know, my renovation, which the building part of is primarily done, but now there is the yard part of the renovation that is currently a work in progress, which I'll save my own complaints about that. That yard has not gone the way it was supposed to go, or how it was supposed to go, or at the price it was supposed to go at. Not my current landscaper's fault. That's my GC's fault. I'm not going to complain about that on the air, because trust me, I've complained enough about that off the air. But you can see that my yard is a work in progress, and you can see that I've got landscapers coming in and planting grass and putting up rock walls and trying to get it to a place where it looks like a normal yard. And that doesn't happen overnight. And I'm no doubt part of the problem with my yard touching his yard and succumbing to the heavy rains is because when my project was underway, they kind of built up my driveway. So now that's not old, that's like new driveway. So obviously a little problem in how they did that, which again, my landscaper is not responsible for. He's my savior. He's coming in and fixing all this stuff, but he ain't free. So they knew that when they bought the place. Not that that matters, but, you know, it's not like this is a surprise. I'm trying to make your life miserable by having my driveway succumb to rain. It's not like I'm doing that. Not like I'm poking my new neighbor bear.
They're poking you.
They're poking me. They don't know who they're poking.
All right. So it does make me scratch my head. Like, the behavior doesn't make sense. The response doesn't make sense. If that were me, I would put a note on your door or say, hey, can we talk? I don't know. I would just inquire and talk to you about it first. I probably may not even say anything based on how you're describing it. Like, it's not a big deal. But here's the deal. You're not going anywhere.
No.
They're not going anywhere anytime soon. So you got to look at the long-term big picture. Because it's like when you deal with clients who are going through a divorce, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody's an a-hole. Sounds like your neighbor's being an a-hole right now, honestly. Mm-hmm. So say you're representing the non-a-hole, okay?
Right.
And the a-hole, soon to be ex, is being an a-hole. And your client wants to be an a-hole back. What happens?
It just becomes an a-hole.
Right. It becomes an a-hole competition. Because the egos get involved, and then it's just who's going to get the other one worse, and everybody loses. So I wouldn't say anything. I would hold that in my pocket because you don't want to make it a worse situation. Because if you say, hey, by the way, stay off my property, you know, and I can hear everything you're saying, which is true, they're going to look for any opportunity to bust your chops.
Oh yeah, he seems like a dude that's just itching for some conflict, and you don't
angry
need to do
dude.
That. Yeah, and plus, Jonna, you're already still in this process of, you know, getting your yard in order, getting your driveway in order. So it's not like your landscaper ain't going to be back sometime soon to maybe do a part two, you know, after rain two. You know, so that's something. Hey, look, it's just going to be done, but you don't do it in response to him. You just do it because that's what you do. And that's even better.
And the fact that he's assuming you're not going to address it. Come on, jerk. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, no. I mean, my landscaper might as well just set up a cot in my yard. The amount of time he's been spending over at my little love shack fixing problems. So I guess maybe my neighbor doesn't know me well enough to do that. So then I just need your opinion on two more things, because I do agree with you. I don't like to create conflict if I don't have to, or participate in it if I don't have to. And I even said, I checked for notes. I went to my, I'm like, somebody's going to leave me a note. Somebody's going to say something, since this is causing them so much consternation. Nothing. So I have two plan Bs. My first plan B is to buy a slingshot and with a little, like, little, they must have little rubber balls that come with them. And then the next time it happens, I'm going to very surreptitiously, sneakily out my window, ping them with a little rubber ball pellet and a sling, and they won't even know where it came from.
I love plan B.
I like that too, which is better than my plan C, probably, because my plan C, now my plan C is pretty big. my plan C, see, they have, or somebody who lives with them has a dog, a white dog. He's a cute dog. He's a little bit of a noisemaker, but I love dogs. And he's always out running the backyard, and sometimes he runs into my yard. And my plan C is, I'm going to steal him and just love him as my own, like not hold him for ransom or anything, just steal the dog. What do you think of that?
You know, you'll never do that.
Temporarily?
No, you're never going to do that.
What if I keep him for a day?
What I think you should do, Jonna, is you should steal the dog like it's, you know, some sort of college frat prank on football, you know, homecoming football weekend. And then what you do is, since the dog is white, now you can paint the dog with animal friendly paints, you know, maybe a sign of some type, you know, something that you think will get on your neighbor's nerves. Maybe paint the dog, paint on the side of the dog a picture of a beautiful driveway. And then send him back to their house.
No, here's my fantasy, that I temporarily steal the dog for a day just because I love dogs. I mean, I'm going to have fun with the dog. It's not like I'm going to hurt the dog. Steal the dog temporarily for a day. And then when the neighbors come over, like, hey, have you seen our dog? I want to answer my door with the dog right by my side while I'm shoving these delicious treats that my dogs love, totally organic human grade chicken, just feeding him all this human grade chicken so he doesn't want to go. And then just staring at them while they're staring at me with their dog and go, no, I haven't seen your dog. This is my dog.
Or you know what would be even funnier is if you open the door and the dog's standing next to you and you say to the dog with a different name, sit. By it all, and the dog sits.
Sit, Jimmy Choo.
That's
sit.
Right. Yeah, can I help you?
I haven't seen your dog.
Oh, so boy, yeah, those are some unhappy people. If that really, that's just they got to be unhappy in their heads to handle it that way.
That's just weird. And they should be happy. They bought a beautiful piece of property on the Hudson River. It's new. It's, you know, they should be enjoying that. So I don't know.
And when their anger issues get the best of them, they've got a lawyer right next door that they can call, you know? So, I mean, hell.
They don't just have a lawyer next door. They got a lawyer with a slingshot. But I agree, Carol. I think they're being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Boom, chakalaka.
I can't believe 2 weeks in a row.
What
two
the heck? Row,
I schooled you. I schooled you both.
Wow.
No. You didn't school us both. You two are the only ones that go back and forth for sagoos. I just freaking roll my eyes and let out heavy sighs. That's all I do.
Oh, no, that's God. A lie. I schooled you both 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, my God. I'm impressed. All right, wait. Before we talk about who's coming up next and your fabulous Sagu, I have a plan D.
Oh, tell me.
Okay. I think you need to go buy about 150 pink flamingos and stick them all over your front yard, right at the road.
Oh, that, or show them that you're one of those absolutely crazed Halloween decorators.
Oh,
the tacky ones.
Oh, like Jonna, and then Christmas time, those blow up lawn people.
Lawn
people. Electric and fan running to them, so they blow up.
You right. Read my mind, girlfriend.
And then when you unplug them, it looks like some sort of, some
massacre.
Sort of some sort of killing field. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And you know what? And, do they make any noise? Like, I want ones that go, ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
They probably do.
I love Plan D.
I knew you would.
Yeah, all I like right. Plan D too, because I got to tell you, Plan B, Jonna, nothing personal, but all I see you is you know, taking that slingshot, flinging it the first time and falling right off your heels. So I don't even...
or a Nerf blaster.
Oh, dang. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't I think of
you
that?
You know, I wish we knew like when they would show up, because I would be totally down for this adventure. Remember when we had our capers? We had disguises, yes. You know, mustaches, yes. those lizard glasses.
Love those.
Yeah. Yeah, this could be a John and Carol caper for show. Yeah. All right.
Well, let's see if they do it again.
Anywho, so stick around. When we come back, we have a repeat guest. We have coming up Gabrielle Stone. She was on a while back with her first book, Eat, Pray, #FML. And a fabulous book. She's going to tell us a little bit about that if you didn't hear her when she was on the first time. And now her just released second book, and this was the Segu that Jonna just dropped, The Ridiculous Misadventures of a Single Girl. She's got awesome style, awesome energy. I love her attitude. So when we come back, we'll be talking with Gabrielle Stone.
All right. That sounds good. And I just had a eureka moment because I remember what #FML stands for.
Yeah. Oh, yay. Congratulations. So, I have to look them up all the time.
I know. Yeah, old man that I am. All right. So anyway, old out of touch man that I am. But anyway, Gabrielle Stone, she is on the way. That is our guest that is coming. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And we will be right back. Don't go away.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we are back with Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And it's segment number two. And segment number two time is guest time. And Carol, take it away.
Yeah, so you guys know that I'm, how can I say this kindly? I love
a book whore.
Yes, thank you. Okay, she said it. I'm a book whore. and I do. I absolutely love to read. And what I love most is when somebody can deliver content and they do it in a way that's engaging and it's edgy and you feel like they're talking to you. So for the second time on Happy Hour, we have with us today Gabrielle Stone. She's awesome. She's got great energy. She's real, guys. So refreshing in today's filtered world that we live in. She is the author of Eat, Pray, #FML. And that's what she talked about the last time she was on. And we're going to have her give a recap of what that is about. And she has just released her second and brand new book, The Ridiculous Misadventures of a Single Girl. Gabrielle Stone, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Thank you, ladies. I will always come back and talk on Happy Hour with you book whores. I absolutely love it.
Oh, we love it. So, and now as I'm scanning through your website, talking to you, I see you've got a picture of Tori Spelling holding your book.
Yeah, she read it during the pandemic and got in touch with me after that. And we became friends. She actually ended up being in the promo commercial that we shot for the book, which was wildly fun to have her in that.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that. Okay, so it's been a while since you were on Happy Hour with your first book, Eat, Pray, #FML, which I loved, absolute page turner. So give us a little bit of the backstory. I know you told it a few times, but if somebody's just tuning in and they're like, who's Gabrielle Stone? We haven't heard of her yet. You will. Tell us the backstory. Tell us about that book, how that came about.
Yeah. So Eat, Pray, FML kind of happened to me. I like to say I was married for almost 2 years and found out my husband was having an affair with a 19-year-old for 6 months. I filed for divorce and left. Shortly after that, I met a guy and we fell madly in love with each other and had this whirlwind romance. And he convinced me to join him on a month-long trip to Italy. 48 hours before we were getting on the plane, he told me he needed to go by himself and broke up with me. And I was absolutely devastated. I mean, he broke my heart like my ex-husband never could have done. And sitting on my bed in a pool of tears with a bottle of wine, I was like, well, Gabrielle, you have a decision to make. You can either stay at home heartbroken or you can go travel Europe for a month by yourself. So I took a backpack and did 6 countries over the span of a month and wrote Eat, Pray, FML about it.
Oh my gosh.
That's my hero. You became my hero. No. I could never, I wouldn't have had the guts to do that alone. And not only did you have the guts to do it, but you talk about it in such a great way in the book. I love that book.
Oh, I'm so glad. I can't say that I didn't have any fear going into it. You know, the only thing I knew about hostels when I was on the plane right over there was that there was a horror movie about it and people get brutally murdered. Exactly. So, I mean, of course there was a lot of fear. One of my biggest issues in life that I needed to heal and overcome was fear of abandonment and fear of being alone. So this was really the universe's clear way of making me go face that head on.
Wow. And you know, it's, you know, we tend to go to what's familiar, what's comfortable. And oftentimes what serves us most is what's uncomfortable.
Oh, totally. Exactly. The fear, when you can walk through the fear and the uncomfort, it's life changing. And that's where all the big lessons will happen.
You know what? I want to go back up here for a second and say, so you were married for 2 years. And so you were clearly in a relationship with your ex for a little while before that. So you have a multi-year relationship with somebody, then the marriage dissolves, and then you meet this guy for like less than 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not discounting it at all. You deeply fell for him. I mean, that kind of connection is possible in a short amount of time because you said he broke your heart worse than your husband did.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, I realized through my own healing journey that I married my husband because he was safe and that I was never fully in love with him. I loved him as a person, of course, but when our marriage ended and the cheating happened, of course I felt betrayed and hurt, but I wasn't heartbroken. With the man after that, before Europe, whose name is Javier in the book, I think now after doing some of my own work, I was being love bombed in that situation, which is a term that I wasn't aware of at the time. And it's really where, you know, you're showered with attention. I love yous come very early. It's very hot and heavy. It goes from 0 to 100 because this person is trying to fill some type of void inside themselves. And they think that you're the answer to filling that void. So they want more of you. And they're like, oh my God, let's go to Europe, meet my family. Let's have babies. This is like the love of my life. And then eventually they realize that you're not the answer to filling that void because no one can fill a void within you except you. And they leave at the height of the honeymoon stage, which is so much more devastating and so much more heartbreaking than a normal relationship, you know, fizzling out or finding its way to an end. It's really not only confusing, but really devastating for the person left on the other side.
Well, I love so much, and this is something we've talked about on the show many, many times, that when, look, we're all going to go through things in life that suck, that we didn't ask for, we didn't deserve, we're good people, we're trying, we're doing our best. But we always get the choice in how we respond to that and what we do with that.
Absolutely.
And number one, and what John has said, like, you're her hero, and she doesn't have many of them, so that's a huge compliment. I don't mean that she hates people, but I mean she's a badass.
Well,
she's brilliant and successful, and she's basically got it all, including me for a friend. So anyway, but you had the courage to go anyway, to get out of your comfort zone, and then you're taking that heartbreaking experience and capturing it in the way only Gabrielle Stone can, and sharing it with other people so that they are inspired by your courage and your authenticity. And that's a beautiful, powerful thing, Gabrielle.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's for me at the time, writing this book was like therapy. I wrote 3/4 of it on my Europe trip and finished it when I came home. So the whole thing was written in 3 months. And it's really what got me through going through all of that. And it ended up becoming this incredible way to reach people. You know, I have readers and now listeners on my podcast, FML Talk, that are all over the world. I mean, in Australia and,
wow,
you know, Europe and all over Canada and Nicaragua. Like it's wild to see, wow, how this little book has been able to reach people and really help them heal. The messages that I get from women and men all over the world have been so touching, and to know that my story has helped them heal different aspects of their own life or get out of abusive relationships or finally stand up and leave their marriage or fix their relationship and know that they wanted to fight for it or learn how to love themselves. It makes everything that I went through so incredibly worth it.
Yeah, because you bring meaning to it. You make it mean something instead of just this sucked and I went through it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So bring us now, again, congratulations to your newest book, The Ridiculous Misadventures of a Single Girl. So tell us about your latest book.
So I say this with all the love in the world, but all of my readers, you know, starting a week after Eat, Pray, FML was released, were berating me about what happened after Europe. We need to like know what's going on in your life now. And tell us all the things, and everybody had all these questions. And I knew that I would probably try and write a sequel to it, but I had to live some of that story first. Because when I came back from Europe, I was still living all of the things that is written about in The Ridiculous Misadventures. So Eat, Pray, FML, if you can believe it, is over the span of 3.5 months of my life from the time that I found out about the affair, filed for divorce, met Javier, fell in love, got dumped, and went to Europe. Three and a half months of my life.
I love it.
And The Ridiculous Misadventures spans over 2 years of my life after I came home from that Europe trip. So I started writing this book before I even knew the ending or how it was going to finish.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot more difficult to write this one because I was, first of all, going very far back and having to remember situations and drudge up old feelings and go a lot further back as Eat, Pray, FML I wrote while it was kind of happening. And also because there are people that I write about in The Ridiculous Misadventures that are still a big part of my life that I want to protect and make sure their feelings are taken care of. So it was a very weird process to write this one. I did it all out of order and I spent time on it. I didn't rush or give myself a deadline. So it took me about a year to complete this one. And it was a lot more emotional for me.
Wow.
What more emotional? And, wow, because you really went through it in the first book.
I know.
Was an emotional whirlwind.
And I know that this was challenging for you because I follow you on Instagram. I love your post, and I can remember part of this you wrote in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I can remember at times you would come on and tell us this is effing hard.
Yeah,
like this is it. It's not easy, but you stayed at it. You did it, girl.
Yeah, you know, it. I think art is always going to have some type of hurt or difficult feelings underneath it when it's personal and vulnerable. And for me, you know, I'm this isn't really a spoiler alert if you look at my Instagram, but I'm in a very happy and healthy relationship right now. And a lot of our story is written about in The Ridiculous Misadventures. So I had to go back and revisit things that I'm not proud of and things that are hurtful to go back and think about. Like there were days where my boyfriend would walk in and I would just be in tears over my laptop. And it was a lot to really like put everything out there. And I had a lot of fear of judgment around this book more so than I did about Eat, Pray, FML. Maybe that's because I've, you know, over the years seen the 5% of reviews that are from people that absolutely hated it, which is to be expected. It's art, it's subjective. But I had a lot of fear of people judging certain things in this book. And it's only been out for about 2 months now. And the DMs and messages I've gotten from people reading it, those are the things that they connect with most and have healed from reading most, which has been a really great full circle moment for me.
That is awesome. Gabrielle, and I have a question. I'm sorry, Carol. I have a strange question for you, because you're so young and vibrant and smart and prolific, and you've got all these things.
Oh, well, thank you.
And you're well and beautiful. Who is your hero? Do you have one?
I mean, my mom, for sure. I know that's such a boring and like typical answer, but I've watched her since I was a little girl pick up the pieces of catastrophes that have hit her life and do it with grace and love. So I she's the only person that comes to mind when I hear the word hero. She's the only person that's been a constant in my life. That's never, you know, left or faltered with me. I attribute all of those aspects that you just listed of me, which I'm so thankful and grateful to hear, I attribute to my mother.
Can you also say your mom is famous? Can you tell our listeners who your mother is? Because some of them may not know.
Yeah. My mom is Dee Wallace. People know her from E.T., Cujo, The Howling. She's been an actress in the business for over 40 years and is also a world healer.
Oh, wow. Oh, she's a healer. And you know, something weird? Do people tell you, like, I actually can hear your mother's voice in your, like, I can, you sound a little bit like your mom. I know.
Oh, that's funny. I haven't gotten the vocal comparison, but I mean, I get comments on my TikTok posts like, did you ever, anyone ever tell you look a lot like Dee Wallace? Are you guys related in any way? I'm like, yeah, that's my mom.
And Gabrielle, you have a history in acting as well as producing film. Are you still doing that?
I am. I mean, I definitely, the last 2 years it's shifted a lot to author and podcast, which has been amazing. But I do, I act, I direct, I produce. I definitely am itching to get back behind the camera again and direct something. But what the book has given me, which I'm so thankful for, is the ability to be a little more picky about the acting roles that I take, because it's not just like book a job, get a paycheck, pay your rent. Yeah. So I've been able to, you know, be a little more selective of the film roles that I take.
That's awesome. What a wonderful position to be in. Gabrielle, so we're wrapping up here with Gabrielle Stone, author of Eat, Pray, FML and The Ridiculous Misadventures of a Single Girl. How can people find your books? How can people find you, follow you on social media, et cetera?
So the book is, or both books are exclusively on Amazon or on my website, which is eatprayfml.com. Both books that are on Amazon are in paperback, hardcover, ebook, and audiobook, and I narrate both of them. And you can get all of the podcast merch on the website as well. The podcast is called FML Talk, and that's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your podcasts. And I am on mostly Instagram at Gabrielle Stone or TikTok at Gabrielle_Stone.
Great.
Awesome. Congratulations, Gabrielle.
Yes.
We're so happy to have you back. And we're so happy you're in a solid relationship that I'm sure everything you went through has made it that much more worthwhile to you.
Absolutely. I would do it all 10 times over to end up where I am now. Thank you for having me on again, ladies. I so appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Gabrielle. And good luck moving forward. Cheers to you and your book. This is Happy Hour with Jonas Spilborg and Carol Pesci. Thanks again to Gabrielle Stone for joining us today. And we will be back with segment number 3. Yeah, there's still more of the show. No, don't yell at us. We'll be back.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And back again one more time. We are here with Happy Hour and Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frankenberry. Oh, my God. That was almost better than in person. Boom.
Hey, go ahead, Carol. Give us a shakalaka.
Oh, my God. Did it sound like it was in timing to you, Frankenberry? Because it didn't to me.
It was almost there, but not quite.
It was total harmony. It was total harmony.
Yeah, Johnny hears music. Carol and I hear a little dissonance. So I don't know. I find a middle ground here, Spilborg.
harmony.
So Gabrielle Stone, she was great to follow.
She's always
to her
great.
Book.
She's just I admire her. I respect her because she's really like put her mark in the ground. She is who she is. She's not perfect. She's an open book. She writes with courage. She shares, you know, she shares openly. And I think we need more of that these days. People are so filtered and giving us only the pieces they want us to see. And I think she's inspiring a lot of women by sharing her misadventures so openly.
She, you know, she's built up quite a following. And you're exactly, you actually read my mind, because you know what she reminds me of now. This is, it's really apples and oranges in terms of the content, but they're completely aligned in terms of, hey, this is me, real me. People are vulnerable. I'm one of you. You can relate. And that is Tiffany Jenkins, you know?
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, and you go through some trial and tribulation and you share it so that other people know they're not alone.
Right.
And what happens to us in life, and some things that happen to us in life are not fun.
But no, and they're messy. And we make certain choices. And I just, and her voice, her writing style. I mean, I highly, highly recommend both of her books, Eat, Pray, #FML, and The Ridiculous Misadventures of a Single Girl. I like her, and follow her on social media. I enjoy her edge.
Yes. Yes. Me too. And her writing style. And yeah. And I remember when her first book came out, I was living in my parents' basement because we had her on, I think, at the beginning of my renovation.
Oh, wow.
So she's working her tail off because now she's already got her second book.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Can I add something just a little off topic? I just want to squeeze it in before we go. Carol, now Frankenberry, I don't have to worry about you because I already know what I'm getting you for Christmas and I don't have to buy it. But Carol, your and Jeannie's Christmas present has already arrived and is at my house, and it's October. Okay. You're welcome.
Well, okay, fine. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. And
my question for you is, and this doesn't mean I don't appreciate whatever it is that you got me, I always do, will I receive it before next June? Because that's what I got last year's Christmas gift.
I understand that. Hopefully, there won't be another pandemic. And yes. And the reason why I have your and Jeannie's gifts already is because I don't want to get stuck not being able to get the things I want to get people. So for the first time in my entire 29 years, I will have all of my Christmas shopping done, all of it, before Thanksgiving.
And you know what you just did, don't you? You just bought yourself a gift.
What was that?
You just bought yourself an extra 10 years because you've been 39 for the last like 4 or 5 shows. So nicely done.
I had a friend say to me the other day, and I'm not even so sure he was kidding. He's like, you know, I have a pretty good feeling you're going to live to be at least 165. Yeah, probably.
And you look as great then as you do now. I started Christmas shopping as well. I'm getting better and better at it. And I just know, you know, delivery systems are getting a little sketchy. Supply chains might be getting sketchy.
Right.
Yeah. So, and honestly, from the time it hits Labor Day, like it was August yesterday, right?
I know.
Like it hit Labor Day and it's like, boom, holy cow. Yeah. You got to start thinking about these things, and it goes so fast. And there's so much to do during the holidays that if you haven't gotten a jump on it, like it creates an added level of unnecessary anxiety. But the holidays should be fun and exciting and relaxing and all of that. And if you get a jump on it, you can enjoy that much more.
And that's my hope. I actually, for the first time in my life, I'm going to have everything wrapped and ready well in advance of Christmas so I can relax. So I can just party and not be stressed over it and enjoy the sentiment.
Well, you know, I'm just glad, Jonna, that you are taking on what we talked about, actually, I think, from like 3 or 4 shows ago, when you were a little concerned that you started thinking about Christmas gifts, because you saw things in your, yes, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning shopping, and you said, mm-hmm, to yourself, I don't want to think about Christmas yet. And that's when I said to you, well, why don't you just buy the stuff now so you don't got to worry about it?
Well, and you know what she did with that advice?
She took it.
No, she went out and bought $500 worth of paper products and then stocked up on wine.
Okay, yeah, but she still did get you and Jeannie's gift already. So now she can.
So I'm getting wine with a roll of toilet paper on the top of the
bed. Exactly. Because she's got she's got two bidets in her house, so she ain't going to be using the freaking toilet paper.
And here, hey, and here I sit in October making fun of that. In December, I'm like, gosh, I hope that's what she gets me.
That's right. You're going to appreciate that extra roll. You'll see.
Roll in the bottle. Yeah. Oh, my God. And I would be not honest with either of you if I didn't admit I did much the same thing after we hung up the last show.
I will also admit that I did look in my little cabinet in the bathroom at home and say to myself, okay, I'm okay. I'm a single dude. I have enough for right now.
Oh, goodness.
But I did check.
You did check? Okay.
All right.
See the ripple effect you're having on the rest of us.
That's right. Charmin should thank me.
Oh my God. Hey, before we wrap up today, I want to make sure I give a shout out. I think most of our listeners who listen on a regular basis know that in addition to writing my own books, Happy Bitch and Hello Beautiful, I have started a publishing company, Little Pink Press, where I publish books by or for women. One of these days, Jonas Spielberg will have a published book under Little Pink Press. I am sure of that. And I absolutely love doing it. I want to give a shout out and congratulations to my latest published author, Lori Weber. She wrote a children's book called Go Away May. It's M-A-E is how you spell May. She's got a couple of kids, and she's going to write one for each of our kids. But her daughter really inspires her. Her daughter is 10 years old. She was 9 when she started writing this book, has a really amazing attitude in life. But whatever challenge comes her way, she's always like, okay, no, I'll do this, or I'll always adjust, find a way, look for the positive. And her daughter inspires her. So she wrote this book about little May, who keeps getting shunned by other kids. But she's always like got a great attitude about it. And then in the end, even shows kindness to the girls that weren't so kind to her. It's really an adorable story. Aww. Beautifully illustrated. Great message. So again, it's called Go Away May. The author is Lori Weber. I love her. And it's available on Amazon.com. So congratulations, Lori.
Oh, yes, indeed.
I got chills with that. That's
nice. Yeah, very nice. Very nice. And you know what? So I can publish on your Little Pink Press. I'm going to call myself Stephanie.
Stephanie Frankenberry.
No, just Stephanie Frank. I think that'll be my pen name.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe she'll create a press just for you. Little Blue Press.
All right. And oh my gosh. There's a chipmunk trying to get in my door, and my dog's going crazy. Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. I'm crazy. Taking a picture for both of you. Yeah. Yeah. She's trying to get in. Sorry, G. All right. So truth be told, I have published books for men. Because honestly, somebody has an idea for a book and they want to get it out there, I'm going to figure out a way to help them. I just don't do it under Little Pink Press logo. So anybody really who has a book idea and wants some guidance, you can just Google Little Pink Press. You'll figure out how to find me, and we'll be just love to talk to you about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, awesome indeed. All right. Well, I think we are good. Gabrielle Stone, thank you very much for joining us today, and enjoyed the heck out of that interview and the talk about your latest book. For Jonas Spielberg, for Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry, and you all have yourselves a fine rest of the day, and make it a good week and a safe one, too, if you can. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spielberg and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.